Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Second Look Radio. I'm your host, Will Miller. Usually during this time period, I play a pretty lengthy song. But this time, I'm going to throw out a couple of show updates for the next couple of weeks. First of all, I want to thank you for tuning in. I've been noticing my listening numbers. I just checked them, and they're very good. So thank you for listening. I really appreciate your listenership. On March 6th, 2003, which will be about, I think, two Wednesdays from now, I'll be having Kyle Hunt on the show, a fellow host here on Renegade Broadcasting Network, and of course, you know, one of the better hosts out here, in my opinion, and what we'll be talking about is really pyramid symbology, or alphabet pyramid symbology, I'm sorry. And some visual numerological symbology. And I think that'll be an interesting show. Me and Kyle did a show on that. Oh, man, it must have been a year ago now. On Oracle Broadcasting, which, of course, let two of its best hosts go, which I found rather interesting. But anyway, also on 3/13/2013, which is, I believe, 3 weeks from now, I'll be having Lou on. We're kind of mulling over a couple of topics right now, but I'll let you know next week on what we're going to talk about, and that'll be a great show. I really enjoy Lou's perspective. I think it brings a lot to the network. And, of course, visit RenegadeBroadcasting.com and all of the hosts there, David in Texas, Mike Sledge, Lou's Den, Blitzkrieg Broadcast. These are all great broadcasts that, you know, that I'm glad to be associated with. And there's plenty of archives there for you to listen to and look through. Of course, you'll find something that you want to listen to because we cover a wide variety of topics here. Some may think that we harp on certain issues too much, but that's only because we think it's for the betterment of the network and for the betterment of the listener. You can catch a wide variety of topics here at Renegade Broadcasting, whether it be esoteric, political, you know, social, whatever you're really looking for. And that's why, like I said, I'm glad to be associated with this network and the people involved. So that was kind of my little intro before the beginning of the show. What I'm going to be talking about today is world peace movements, world peace leaders, the liberal utopia that is attempting to be created around us. Now, the question I pose tonight most of all to everybody out there is how many people must die for world peace? I think that's a question that should be posed to anybody preaching the world peace doctrine. It's an important issue to bring up because I know a lot of people out there have been pushing the world peace issue and that everybody should just get along. But what is this agenda really? What is really behind this? And that's what we're going to talk about on this show, Second Look Radio. Again, I'm your host, Will Miller. So I'm going to put up a song, a little bit lengthy, about 4 or 5 minutes, and I will be right back after this tune. Let me find this track. Be right back.
Welcome
I have seen the shade of the world.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Second Look Radio. Second Look Radio is usually based on a topic, and tonight it is a topical show. So, tonight the topic is world peace movements, kind of talking about some of the world peace initiatives. I think initiative is a code word in a lot of senses. But, yeah, if you want to call in and talk about the topic at hand, the issue is 347-633-9657. So starting out tonight's show, I guess we'll kind of just confront the issue of peace in general. Now, what kind of led me to this topic was the social media issue. And you might kind of find this a reoccurring theme in a lot of my shows. But I kind of look at the, the social media as a pulse of what people are thinking, what people are, or how people are reacting to the information that's coming out. Now, what I get a lot of the time is a lot of people sharing information with me that is very world peace based, that is very, it's almost overly trying to come to a conclusion that the world must achieve peace through, it's an amazing concept, really. I mean, the concept that the world is evolving into a peaceful society. I look at this issue as something that needs to be confronted. Because people who are talking about peace don't even realize that peace may be the big, proselytizing peace may be the biggest issue towards peace. Putting in people in positions of trying to create peace causes more violence than if nothing were done. And I'm kind of taking a general thesis tonight on Second Look Radio. And my general thesis would be that peace is really, at the end of the day, unattainable to all of the people of this earth. And we have to talk about the idea that maybe peace could be achieved. Yes, absolutely. But how long will it take? Is it even worth working towards? Like I said, working towards peace may be counterproductive towards the peaceful process. I know a lot of people out there want world peace. Probably a lot of people listen to this show. And myself included. I mean, I want everybody to mind their own business. I mean, I guess that's kind of what peace is all about. I kind of believe in a nationalist peace idea. But then there's issues with that. That's why I have problems with molding myself into something and giving myself a label. Because I find issues with everything that I feel accustomed to, that I feel maybe even are part of my heritage. Because I feel to look beyond that basic line of propaganda, no matter what propaganda it is. Peace is a tricky situation. Peace has caused much violence. I mean, the basic tenet of Judaism is world peace at the end of the day, right? And I kind of talked about this on my show last week. I did the whole Dorner Unchained, everything like that, which, of course, is being faded out of the news as we speak. I haven't seen much more news coverage of the whole Dorner issue. But that's besides the point. That's not the topic for tonight. The topic for tonight is peace. Now, maybe even some people would feel that Dorner was encouraging people to rise up and encourage peace. against police corruption. I think that's another issue we have to confront. Do the police bring peace, or do the police bring injustice? And of course, every country needs a police. I'm not debating that issue. Every country needs governance. Every country needs security. But how far does that limit go? How far does it go into imprisoning people for in the name of peace? Imprisoning peaceful people in the name of peace. I think that's an interesting issue. Who's really to say what peace is? Who's really to say how peace is to come about? And what I'm going to talk about a lot in this episode, I guess you could say, of Second Look Radio, is what I'm going to talk about a lot is the evolutionary peace strategy, and whether this is even attainable. First of all, and I know I've used that word before. Give me a break here. But evolutionary peace, and this is a lot of people in mainstream media and the alternative media. The alternative media, most of all, pushes the idea of evolutionary peace. And like I said, I'm not somebody who's saying that this isn't a possible strategy that we can use towards a completely peaceful society. But the way that it's preached to us now is in a proselytized manner that is harming the community, that is harming the races, that is harming the cultures. There should always be debate between culture. And some people would deem debate as part of a counteractive measure to evolutionary peace strategy. Because at the end of evolutionary peace strategy, peace is achieved and there is no debate. But you have to ask yourself, who is controlling the peace process? Maybe there's something that's behind all of this peace nonsense. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people understand what that is. Because the world peace movement is the multi-coalition. And I talked about this with James on my show last week. The idea of the multi-coalition, the coalition against whites. And I know this is a taboo subject, but, you know, I don't really care about this issue. Because the multi-coalition is surrounding the... I mean, it's like people can't even see it, right? How many people do you talk to who are in agreement with the multi-coalition that have white skin? This is a danger. It's multiculturalism, absolutely. But it's multiculturalism versus the white culture. The white culture is not involved with multiculturalism. Oh, Scottish have bagpipes. The Irish have beer and hit women. I'm tired of these stereotypes. I just really feel that it's not being talked about enough. Even with all the shows out there who are approaching this narrative, it's still not enough. And I feel if this issue could get over the mountain, over the hump, then real peace could be achieved. We all know what happened in World War II. We all know how many attempts were made at world peace by the Germans, by Adolf Hitler. But we have to really explore this world, this word peace. Hitler said in many speeches that he preferred peace. Hitler said in many speeches that peace was the number one goal. Especially in 1933. So, we have to confront the issue of what peace really is. And how we define peace. How do we define peace? I think that, you know, we have to talk about that. If we are to say, okay, our end goal is peace amongst all peoples, we have to first define what we believe peace to be. Now, the communists defined what they believe peace to be. You can look up a book right now. Go to Google and type in the communist interpretation of peace. They've talked about peace. Hell, in their own literature, they said they were for peace until the war started. They were peaceful activists or whatever. That's what's happening now. And it's another thing we have to talk about is the peaceful activist. What kind of damage does this person do? And of course, when we talk about damage, we could say for good or for worse. Is this something that we need to promote? Do we need to promote activism, which is inherently communist? Which is inherently redistribution. Should we align ourselves with people who are trying to destroy what's made the world over great? And I don't know many people who say that they don't want world peace, that they want war, that they want imperialism, that they want death and destruction. I mean, do you hear many people preaching that? No. I'm not going to be one who does either. But how can peace, this word peace, which is thrown around like it's peace is a difficult word to really comprehend. Some people may think that peace is natural law. Some people may think that peace is, isolationist nationalism between all countries. Maybe it's the same thing. I don't know. But if people preach peace, the overall perspective on peace nowadays, especially from the research I'm doing and the stuff that I'm looking into, is that it's strictly internationalist. All cultures destroyed. All races melted into the pot of multiculturalism. It can hurt us. And it's hurting us. I shouldn't have even said it can hurt us. It's hurting us. It's making us weak. It's making us people who don't desire the will to live. If you truly seek world peace, then you're seeking the end of all peoples. You're seeking the end of race. You're seeking the end of ideology. You're seeking the end of religion. For the religious people out there, I'm sure there's just a couple people who still listen. That's the problem that we have here. All peoples should be able to acquire military status to protect their stock. Oh, he's an evil eugenicist, right? He's an evil, you know, he's on the same line as Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi with his eugenicist liberal ideology. I'm no damn liberal. And really, looking at eugenicism, I really wouldn't classify myself as a eugenicist, although I see positive elements within it. I feel that all peoples, no matter really what stock, can be taught to live in a moral lifestyle, but really we have to address the race issue when talking about the moral lifestyle here. And maybe I'm losing listeners. Maybe I'm losing the people who want to be completely peaceful with all of the world. And honestly, I'm tired of the rhetoric, because every form of effing media that I look at is anti-war, peace proactive, whatever the hell they want to call it. And of course, it means nothing. I mean, I can't believe that. I mean, it makes me speechless that sometimes. I just can't believe that people fall for it and not realize that it's a religion in itself. And I know, you know, and I don't want to really outcast those people who feel that all religions should come together, or that all religions should be abolished, which is the same thing, really, in my eyes. Whether you want to pedestal religion or completely destroy it, it's a lot of the same thing there. It's a lot of the same outcome. More and more people are preaching the idea of peace, and like I said, peace is really is the outcome of Judaism. I from what my research tells me. I mean, there's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to Judaism and peace, where you can clearly see that these people are trying to achieve a quote-unquote peace. And here's the drinking game for tonight, by the way. If you want to take a shot every time I say peace in this broadcast, feel free. And I do that kind of every show. You know, I did that the last couple of shows. I kind of harp on one word a lot, and I even say harp a lot. So, like I said, I'm somebody who really enjoys doing radio. You know, I'm somebody who really enjoys talking to people and really enjoys seeing people's insight. You know, I'm going to try to get a little bit more involved with the chat room, take more questions from the chat room, take more insight from the chat room, because a lot of people in the chat room have a lot to say, and I think that's important. You know, the listeners should really have a voice here, you know, and I really respect the people who listen to this network. I mean, this is the network that is moving forward. Well, I shouldn't have said moving forward, but you know, it's the truly truly Renegade Broadcasting Network. Okay, with that being said, I think I'll go to a kind of a shorter song here. And with that being said, let's see if we can get a tune up here. After the break, I'm gonna try to bring in kind of the Baha'i faith. Talk a little bit about theosophy, a little bit about more the Jews and their peace process, if you will, and maybe some of the Israeli-Palestinian peace initiatives. There's a lot we could talk about. I have quite a few things to talk about here. So, okay, I believe I have a song here. All right, I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Okay, and we are back to Second Look Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Will Miller. You know, I kind of say that every time I come back from a break. Maybe I should stop doing that. I think people know who I am by now. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I don't really know. So, what we're going to talk about now is the world peace movement. Now, if you go to the worldpeacemovement.org, let's go there now, right? And if you go to worldpeace.movement, my computer's so slow, guy. I'm sorry. Give me a minute. Peacemovement.org. Okay, now if you go to worldpeacemovement.org, you see they have a little thing in the middle there that says, A New World Order. Let's click on it. They have a whole bunch of stuff here that they, you know, they want to unify the world and have a world community, a universal assembly. They even talk about the foundations of a new world order. Now, something that, interesting to think about with this worldpeacemovement.org is that it's run by the Baha'i movement. Now, I know somebody was talking about the Baha'i movement on this network in the past few months. I just can't think of who it was. I want to say it was Lou, but I'm really not sure. I believe it was Lou. The whole Baha'i thing is very interesting. Now, if you look at, I mean, they're behind this whole worldpeacemovement.org. Now, if somebody were to say, want to become political, even spiritual, they may say, oh, let me look at Google and type in world peace movement. Because that's something that I would like to be a part of. That's something that I would like to belong to. Now, typing in world peace movement, you're going to find automatically worldpeacemovement.org that preaches the ideal of a new world order. And this is very interesting. And I should stop saying interesting. But because really in the middle of their page, they have a new world order. And of course, as their propaganda for the page, and a new world order is propaganda as well, but they have root causes of war and horrors of war. This is propaganda. Now, I know that propaganda shouldn't always believe people should always believe that propaganda is used in a negative light. I mean, propaganda comes from, I believe, propagare, that's in Latin. And a lot of people pin the beginning of the propaganda movement on the Jesuits and their, traveling adventures. You know, all the Jesuit stuff, we've all talked about it. I mean, it's really just another counterpoint to the information that we know to be true. But let's think about the world community. The world community seems to already be here, right? I mean, I would say that the world community already has really been established. A lot of people are, you know, in agreement with this, that the New World Order has already been established. The New World Order is already here. It was, I mean, really, you know, the League of Nations didn't have all-encompassing power, but after World War II, it was just a lockdown. They could never have another true, you know, really, I guess I could. I almost want to be careful about how I word things. You know, because I mean, Zog Talk Radio. I shouldn't have said that. Now my show's going to get canceled. But, but you got to really watch your words. And you know, the World Peace Movement came out of really an anti-nuclear you know, movement, the nuclear proliferation kind of stuff. And that kind of interested me too, because I'm somebody who believes that at this point in time, that nukes kind of hold a standstill in the world to a certain extent. And I know a lot of people believe that all the world's controlled by the same cabal and everything like that. And I kind of believe that to a certain extent too. But, you know, I give a little bit more credence to believe that, you know, the conspiracy is really just, is really just about money. You know, I mean, you can create a conspiracy through money and have the people involved only thinking that they're profiting and not even really involved in the conspiracy itself. You know, a lot of people in quote-unquote the world peace movement, I'd say 95% of the people involved are true-to-heart people who really want to see the betterment of the world. But because of their, you know, ignorant nature, because they've been, you know, raised on garbage, because of their ignorant nature, they've been raised to believe that the ideal world is a peaceful, a world peace world. A world without weapons, a world without you know, without debate, without issue, without conflict, I guess would be the better word to say. And, you know, at a base level, they're right. You know, everybody should leave everybody alone in this and that, and everybody should, you know, do this and whatever. I don't know, kind of bumbling over my words here. I'm sorry. But, I mean, really, if the world were to achieve a peaceful solution and world peace were to be enacted, again, I'll go back to the question raised at the beginning of the show. How many people will have to die to be murdered, to be concentrated, to bring about a world peace movement, to bring about world peace, to bring about the conjoining of all religion, the conjoining of all culture? It's really something interesting to think about. Now, I know a lot of the Christian right and a lot of the Christian, I shouldn't even say Christian right, that's kind of Jewish. I'll say the Christian crowd. Even a lot of them, if hassled enough, will be pushed into a world peace idea. Ask any Christian who is, you know, Protestant, Lutheran, whatever church they go to. What is the end goal? They want world peace. Now, if everybody thinks that the end goal should be world peace, then some propaganda has been very successful. We should approach the idea of creating a livable world before we even approach the idea of a completely liberal utopia, if you want to call it that. It's a constant narrative, especially in the truth media. Truth media is a word I like, though. I mean, in the truth media, what do you see? People stressing and just pulling their hair out over just wanting the world to be a peaceful place. Everybody gets along, oy vey. But it's because they're being sold down the road. They're being Jewed. Oh, this episode's definitely getting... So, that's what's happening. If you're being... I mean, the idea of a utopian world is up on par with the idea of a Jehovah God overseeing everything. You're more likely to see Jehovah or Jesus Christ to return to Earth than you are to see a completely peaceful world. And even if there is a completely peaceful world, the amount of abortion, the amount of innocent killing would be phenomenal in a world that struggles to attain peace. And I probably sound like somebody who's trying to create havoc and war. But no, I'm not trying to create havoc and war. I'm trying to create sustainability between nations. If nations can recognize each other's inherent qualities, if cultures could recognize each other's inherent qualities, then conflict would be at a minimal state. I've heard so many people tell me when I try to put across a narrative of a better America, even if you will, for lack of a better term, that a better America is inherently racist. That going back to a and I used to think this way. I used to think that returning to a constitutional law system, because today's nowhere near what the Constitution was, but returning to a constitutional law system would solve these problems. And was I wrong? I'm tired of the political jargon. We have to return we have to revive our cultures. Cultural revivalism. This is my stance. For all cultures to revive that ancient spirit that they hold dear in their hearts. For people who are brainwashed into thinking into this corporate mind state, to recognize, to fall out of the trap, to recognize themselves, to recognize their physical nature. How can we, distort? I mean, how can we really, combat the distortion that's happening here? Because world peace is something to really, really, I mean, it's something that we really have to confront, because this is something that's going to come back right at us. I mean, the enemy of nationalism. I mean, the enemy of peace is nationalism. At least what, the elite would like to call peace. Because most of the people I talk to want an internationalist peace. An agreement between all countries. A disarmament, a nuclear disarmament. Most of this anti-war stuff came out of nuclear disarmament at 58. And I'm sorry if I sound like I'm preaching here, but I'm trying to get a point across here. Reject this ideal that a world peace must be achieved. I think really peace has to be accomplished on an individual level. You must come to peace with yourself first. No God can rub his hand over your head and say that you now live in peace. And like I said, the drinking game tonight is the peace game. If you want to have a good drinking game tonight, drink every time I see peace in this broadcast. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to bring a little humor here, but I can't I can't understand how people could fall for this and radically come across, come off against Christianity and Judaism. What's up? I mean, and a lot of this has to do with this kind of theosophy Baha'i ideal. Is there really a way to combat a world ideology, one that brings all people together? Because I don't believe that. I don't think that the whole world is really meant, or even, you know, I really don't think it's meant to be conjoined together in this big puzzle. I think, you know, people are peoples. They're going to, you know, do what they do. They're going to, you know, culture their culture, right? But that's the issue here, is that, you know, the narrative of world peace is very hard to combat. Even though it's a false ideology, it's another false religion. It's really an amalgamation of all, you know, political, science, religion, whatever. You throw them all together, you're going to get world peace in this world peace stuff. It's dangerous. It's not good for anybody, at least in my eyes, because struggling to attain world peace is the end game of that is really a lot of killing, a lot of murder. And that's just, you know, my take. And really the only hope, in my eyes, is a cultural revivalism. You know, resurrecting the ancient ways into a more technological society. And a lot of people may say that, you know, that's optimistic, or that's fanatical even. And I don't care. I don't care if you call me fanatical. Fanatical? People are fanatical about, pretzels. There's people who love pretzels. That means they're fanatical about pretzels. They have to have every different bag of pretzels, right? I guess that's kind of a bad analogy. But that's the thing. Everybody's going to be fanatical about something. Every person in this world is fanatical about something. nobody's going to really... I don't see many too many people who are on the fence about what they believe. But maybe that's what the world peace kind of idea is being on the fence. Most people I talk about, they're way over the fence believing that world peace must be achieved. World peace must be achieved. World peace must be achieved. It's like this constant mantra. I mean, and every single religion, I challenge you to find something deemed a religion that does not preach world peace. It's because religion is politically correct. I mean, religion is really, even at the start of the day, a political correct scheme. How can we educate anybody with a world peace doctrine? Are you kidding me? Everybody's equal. Everything must be achieved under global governance of peace and prosperity and whatever crap they want to come up with. But with the problem that we fail to deal with here is that, you know, while America is quote unquote a capitalist society, it is one of the last capitalist societies. So the overwhelming majority of people who are majority of people who are trying to bring about a utopian society are just trying to reiterate the ideals of communism. For some reason, the world peace gets associated with socialism and a workers' revolution. And I've seen the media do this a lot lately in associating peace with a workers' revolution. Now, isn't that interesting? And I kind of talked about this on, I forget whose show it was, but I kind of talked about this on a couple of shows way back when. Is the idea of a kind of a green shirt revolution. And I know it's a bad term to use. The black shirts and the brown shirts, I understand the narrative. But a kind of a green shirt revolution that's really encirculated by environmentalism, democracy, liberalism, really socialism, and communism, the whole hand, all five. Bringing these together to create a people who will not reinforce their inherent abilities to combat this kind of tyrannical structure. There's great elements of environmentalism, yes. I mean, to a certain extent, we have to sustain our nature, absolutely. But the way it's done, the way that it's pitched to people, I guarantee you that all of the people who are registered Democrats have fallen into an environmentalist trap. I guarantee you, you're not going to find a Democrat who believes that global warming is a fraud or anything like this. And it's kind of another issue in itself, but you know, the anti-global warming crowd kind of gets pinned as this anti-peace movement and anti-wanting to sustain life and everything like that. But what people have to understand about these environmental issues is that they will wipe out a whole poor village to sustain that environment. It's very sadistic. It's very relenting, if you will. They don't care about the poor. I mean, the poor are dispensable in the names of environmentalism. And I have a soft spot for, you know, what Marxism would deem the lower class. Really, what's the greatest percentage of majority in this country, including whites? Many people would come out and say that, you know, we need not align ourselves with stupid white Americans. Well, my stance would be that we need to educate stupid white Americans. And that's not a standoffish statement. No. That's just my look at it. The people that we deem to be, you know, less savory, need only be educated, need only be given the initiative of becoming that better person, that better person, I guess that's the best way to put it. But to mass educate the entire population of the world? I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, they could probably do it. But, you know, how would they do it? And I think the overwhelming idea is how they would do it is kind of establish, either the conjoining of religion or the destruction of religion. But the destruction of religion is tricky. Maybe to a certain extent, a lot of us may agree that religion should be destroyed. But we have to take into account that you will never be able to destroy Judaism. Even if Obama and, you know, all of them, you know, Nelson Mandela, I don't even know, like any peace leaders were to come out and say, we're going to abolish religion for the greater of the world. You're going to have, basically what you're going to have is the Israelis and Jews saying they don't agree with that. And they're again going to become the enemy of the world. Because you're never going to be able to destroy Judaism. And that's why I don't believe, that's why I believe that a lot of, you know, the atheist argument that the atheists run the world is a bunch of BS. I don't believe it. I think the people that run the world are very zealous religious fanatics. And, everybody's a fan of something, I guess, right? And I feel that they really feel that, you know, because, look, only, you know, if you're born on the earth, you've achieved a very high, high status of evolutionary ability on this earth. I think it's a great thing to be a human. I mean, when you look at animals and you look at bugs and you look at fish even, you should really look at them and say, well, you know, my life is much greater than this. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, but at the same time, we have to realize that we're of the same kind of, you know, we're of the same earth, if you will. But at the same time, the world peace movements, what do they like to push? We're all one. Awokenness to oneness. All the abolishment of all religion, the abolishment of all culture, the abolishment of this and that, or the conjoining, or whatever. These things need to be separate in order to create peace without them. That's the only way that you're really going to be able to attain even close to a utopian structure is allow people to govern themselves. Because you couldn't blame it on another, you know, imperializing structure coming into your land. And, you know, you couldn't blame it on immigrants coming into your land either. So the majority of the blame, I shouldn't even say majority, really 100% of the blame would come down on your race, on your peoples, on the individual involved, and this would create a much more stable environment for people to live by, because there's no outside interference. A society is willing to work much better as long as it knows it's working with its own people. And maybe that's politically incorrect. Maybe, you know, I should go on Bill Maher or whatever. But it's not my, and I'm not trying to really bring anybody in and trying to tell them, you know, we can do this. We can make the world peaceful. What I really try to do is just tell people that they're strong as individuals and that they can network and they can, you know, among peoples and they can create these nationalist ideas that change the world, that can really combat this multi-coalition, that can bring people into an idea that, you know, we can live together, absolutely. But let's trade together. Let's make agreements with each other. But doesn't mean necessarily that we have to live within the same confines as each other. Of course, everybody would be able to travel in and out, and there would be nothing wrong with that at all. But I would say that, you know, what's wrong with people just wanting to be people? I mean, really, multiculturalism is a new concept. It's really only started happening, you know, in a large extent in America, you know, and then other countries followed. All right, so with that being said, in the second hour, we'll talk more about this. I'm going to throw up a tune, and we'll be right back. Okay, and welcome back to Second Look Radio. All right, in the second hour, I guess we'll talk a little bit more about this Baha'i faith. Baha'i is a very interesting religion. And it is a religion, you know. Maybe people would argue it's probably more of a business. I think I'd agree with that in the concept that, you know, it's really selling something. Now, what it's selling is an ideology, or I guess religion, that combines all religious outlooks. And it's very interesting because, you know, right now the Baha'i faith is headed by a black man. Now, what's interesting about this is that they had written books. I believe their Messiah, who was supposedly Christ to come again, Muhammad come again, all these messiahs come again. Now, what they say this person wrote, a lot of what this person has wrote has been eliminated out of their text. Now, what they've done is more or less combined the sacred text of religion in general. And, you know, maybe it's important to combine religions in study in search of a fonder truth, or a further truth, I'm sorry. But, you know, combining religions in terms to make a new religion, that's something that can be used very well to make money, to convert followers, especially of all different faiths. I mean, this is really a religion that appeals to the non-religious and the religious, the agnostic, the Gnostic, and the full-blown believer. Now, like I was kind of talking about him more earlier in the show, the idea that, you know, world peace can be approached by any form of society, any race, any religion, culture, whatever, by any certain individual within these races. It's because it's a brainwashing concept. You know, the idea of subversion and subverting the mind. A lot of what had to do with the 60s involved this world peace movement. A lot of people put John Lennon on a pedestal. And he was very involved in pushing the world peace movement. And, of course, he was assassinated. And all great peace leaders are assassinated. Maybe that's something to talk about too, is the peace leaders of this movement, the people who are, their faces are strewn about across the you know, alternative media genre, which is 98% world peace movement, in my opinion, because most people you talk to will not say that they are against other religions, what other religions believe. And if you're against what another religion believes, then you're a bigot. And that's the very interesting concept that we have to deal with religion, is that it cannot be criticized without yourself being labeled. Well, of course, you know, you could criticize Christianity. Everybody does that. There's no issue with that. And I'm not backing Christianity here. I'm just saying that it's a common propaganda goal of a lot of these people putting out disinformation, so on and so forth, is to discredit Christianity. But I also believe there's a lot of misinformation agents in the pro-Christian movement, especially the Christian conservative conspiracy movement.
I guess you could call it the CCCM there.
But the Christian conspiracy conservative movement seems to have a lot of connections with corporatism, especially with Fox News and a lot of the churches out there. So, moving back to the Baha'i outlook on life, it follows a lot of the same ideas of a theosophic concept of studying all the religions, coming to a greater knowledge. But the difference between theosophy and Baha'i religion, which is centered out of Israel, by the way, and was accepted as a religion in Israel in 1971, which was created by Iranian Jews. The difference between Baha'i and theosophy, so theosophy is the love of wisdom. It's loving what you're reading. Some people study for a test. Some people love what they're studying for a test. There's a big difference there. If you have an inclination to want to take in a certain topic that you're studying, it'll probably stay with you for life. You probably will retain a lot of that knowledge. Now, say if you were studying for, Civil War history because you had to take a test, you might remember some of it. You'll get the overall look of it, but you're not going to have detailed information. So, you know, theosophy is more along the lines of trying to come to a... I mean, theosophy is not a great thing to preach about. Not preach about, but, you know, to really talk about in a positive light, I guess I could say. Because, you know, the love of wisdom is something, definitely. You know, you have to love the wise sayings. You have to really, you know, take to heart a lot of wisdom that's out there. But I would explain more of the Baha'i faith as more of a belief system. It's not a wisdom. It's a belief system that, you know, I mean, really what they believe, and, you know, a lot of people wonder why they're stationed in Israel. Well, the reason they're stationed in Israel is to convert followers there. Well, they're said to not preach their religion there and proselytize or whatever, and that's all fair and well. But they have their headquarters is in Israel. I find that very interesting. And if you don't know who the Baha'i faith is, if you ever see a kind of a maybe a meme or a picture with all the religious symbols together, that's basically a promotion of Baha'i. To bring together all the religions under one umbrella. And most of the conspiracy movement is against this thing. So that's something you have to bring into account too, because, you know, the conspiracy movement has been wrong plenty of times before. And, you know, their criticism of things like theosophy, Baha'i faith, especially the Christian part of this conspiracy outlet, if you will, they really, you know, point out that the Baha'i is of a New Age origin. It's definitely very New Agey. I mean, anybody reading it with half a brain can realize this is a lot of New Age propaganda. It's a lot of crap. And I agree with the Christians on that. It's New Age BS. But, I mean, the funny thing about them is that they preach Christianity while also preaching that, you know, the Jews were fairly undealt with and that Jesus is not the Messiah. It's a very weird faith that kind of molds itself to every religion, to kind of pander to the people of all cultures and religions, and try to, you know, bring them under this idea. Now, the current population of Baha'i is supposedly 5, 6, maybe even 7 million. But I would say, really, in the ideology and the way that most people think, and really if they had to come down at the end of the day and say they worship something, they would read something like the Baha'i Faith or the Baha'i stuff and really just say, oh, this is what I've always believed. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's really its main selling point, is that it's for the people who've, you know, fallen out of ideals of religion, maybe even science, you know, who kind of want to combine the religions, maybe people who believe that Jesus, Horus, Dionysus, all these characters are the same person. Very easy for them to get involved in this religion. I know a lot of people, you know, may promote this and everything like that, and I'm not exactly against everybody who's thinking this way or thinking in this ideal of the, but really the end goal of this religion is world domination of the religion. There is no belief in the separation between church and state. It really should be conjoined in their eyes. That's not something that we should really look forward to, especially if they're gaining ground. I believe the Baha'i is the only, and I'm not sure how outdated this information is, but is the only accepted religion of the United Nations. Now, like I said, I don't want to get into the whole New Age conspiracy here with the United Nations and, you know, the meditation room they have and everything like this, the Theosophic Meditation Room. And, you know, all that information has been put out there by plenty of other people who are going to explain it a lot better than me. But it is interesting that they have accepted this religion as one of their own. It's probably because they see the value in it and see that's the way that the world is moving towards. But you have to ask yourself if it was moving that way evolutionarily or by hand, by the hand of man. Kind of, you know, if it's moving forward by itself or somebody's progressing that evolution. Because peace, and you have to ask yourself again, what is the, you know, what do you get out of, what are these bankers and, you know, elitists and this and that, what do they get out of world peace? Because really, at the end of the day, they're the ones promoting it the most. I mean, I see most of the world peace movement propaganda in the media, in popular websites, especially music. Music, I mean, at least every artist nowadays has at least one political song about some kind of world peace standard that they feel needs to be achieved. So that means that, you know, there's a lot of time being taken out to put this forth. Because, I mean, if these record labels and movie production companies really wanted world peace, then they wouldn't promote it. But they're promoting world peace. They're promoting the international governance and the white imperialism dictatorship that's going to happen everywhere. And that's what most people are against, even the white people themselves, is quote-unquote white imperialism. I don't think there's anything other. I mean, can you really call any other country imperialist that hasn't been of white skin? At least in the past few hundred years, right? So, it's something to think about. Ooh, all right. Well, I'm going to take a break right quick, and I'm going to put a song up here. I got something to do really fast. Sorry, a little bit distracted here. Okay, so I'm going to put up a song here,
And when we get back, let's see what we'll talk. We'll talk about maybe some of the conspiracies involving the Baha'i and the United Nations and everything like this. See where it comes from, the origins of this information. I want to talk about nuclear proliferation. Oof. And also want to involve you or invite you to call in if you want to be involved in the broadcast. The number is 347-633-9657. I know I missed a call earlier, and I want to apologize to the person, whoever was on the line. If you want to call back in, feel free. You know, I kind of go on rants here, and I forget to look at the stupid Blog Talk Studio here. So I apologize for that. Try to keep an eye on it better. I kind of promised myself I was going to look at the Blog Talk Studio a little bit more tonight. Let me find a song here. And all right, where is it? All right. One second here. Okay. Okay, we'll be back in 5.
Your life was worth living, but only so long. You gave up forgiving and singing the song. All of the lies and all of the
Okay, okay, and we're back to Second Look Radio. I'm your host, Will Miller. I'm here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, check out all of the hosts here at Renegade Broadcasting Network. We usually always broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, except for Saturdays, which we broadcast at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Knights Roundtable. So, of course, if you're just tuning in, basically what we were talking about is the idea of world peace, kind of discussing the B'nai movement, kind of conjoining religions, disbanding religion. These two extremes, I think, are important to talk about because seems a lot of people say that, you know, all religions should be, you know, held above all else, or it should be held below all else. It's very interesting because there's good things you could get out of religion, right? I mean, you know, certain religions, but, you know, there's a lot more bad things you could get out of them. And that's the problem. And the thing is that, you know, when you're using the Queen's English here, and when you're using English and you translate these texts, especially Hindu, Islamic, even Jewish texts, they come out sounding very flowery, very out front, very beautiful, very dramatic, I think is really the word I'm looking for. And it's something that the Baha'i faith is all of their literature is translated into English. Most of their literature is English. When you translate these scriptures and everything like that, you're not getting the same ideal out of them. At least in my opinion, you know, people may disagree with that. That's fine. It's not my problem. I tend to believe that religion in itself has been really just a tool. I kind of, you know, wrestle with this debate that, you know, whether, you know, religion has a value or not, especially when dealing with, you know, Judaism and Zionism and things like that, because, I mean, really a lot of the criticism leveled against Judaism is from the Bible, and with good intention. Because if you read the Bible, you're going to understand that, you know, who's to blame there. But, you know, I don't want to come across as somebody who's going to put forth this idea that Jesus is something that we need to use against them, because I really don't think it is. I mean, using that ideal against your foe, using their own ideas against them, can come back and slap you right in the face. These people are smart. They've studied their own religion. They've studied the criticism against them a lot more than most people out there have studied their own ideas of criticism against them. I mean, criticizing Judaism is not something that's gonna. I mean, really, in this day and time, especially in America, it's not gonna get you far. I think places in Europe still have a chance of exposing this problem because they're more homogenous. And that's really the argument that a lot of people have, is that America is not a homogenous society. These ideals can't raise again in this country. That might be true to some extent, but you have to. I really think that, you know, America in large is not our country. Maybe we have to start looking at ideas of European transnationalism. And that's hard to kind of grasp because doesn't seem like the right way to go, but en masse, if white people decided to start traveling back to Europe, you would see that they wouldn't have much power in these countries anymore. Really, you know, a European revivalism. And, you know, I kind of agree with some of the tenets of European transnationalism, but it can get tricky, of course. If you're going to give all this power of America over to the multi-coalition, as I deemed it earlier in the show and last week, if you're going to give the power to the multi-coalition and jump ship, we have to prepare for that, the lash back. What these people are afraid of the most, what the Jews especially, are afraid of the most is cultural revivalism. Because Judaism is already culturally revived. It's following the same tenets as it was back then, for the most part. Most people will tell you, oh, they've changed their doctrines for the better. They don't believe all that wacky stuff anymore. Well, who doesn't? I'm sorry, if you're going to synagogue every, I guess, Saturday, and praising Yahweh, you made that decision. Judaism is really almost, in a sense, at the end of the day, a decision. Just like being Catholic is a decision. But at the same time, you know, you have to give yourself a certain amount of years to break out of these mindsets. And, you know, most people believe in the racial Jewish ideal that the Jews are a race. Absolutely. I'm not going to debate that. It's pretty obvious that they have racial qualities. But, you know, of course, we're seeing now black Jews. And we're seeing white Jews, you know, Zionist Christians. And even Zionist atheists was just something to look at, too. A lot of the military is involved with what I would call Zionist atheism. Getting the Israel to rebuild Zion just because it would be best for them and it's what's best for you. You can profit off of Zion. Zion is a very profitable concept. People don't understand, you know. I mean, look at Scientology or something like that. These are very profitable organizations. Their stuff isn't cheap. They're there to make money and enforce their own movement. And really, the end goal of any movement is domination, is control. If you have a movement and you don't want to control what you're fighting for, then I don't know. I guess you would be deemed a pacifist. Pacifists get stopped under the boots of history. I'm sorry. Pacifism is a losing ideology. It's a failing ism. In many senses, you have to take a stance. You have to open your eyes and realize that world peace is just as much as believing that, you know, Yahweh's in the sky dropping down luck upon you or something. I don't know. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Because world peace and revelations of the New Testament, if you will, is the end game. And even Revelation says that Jews will lead at the end. And that's what Christians have to explain, especially if they're pushing an anti-Jew-wise, or I mean, anti-Jew rhetoric. even in your own book, Revelations 2, 9 and 3, 9, that the Jews will lead your new world order. It says it in the book. So if you're a Christian, you're giving your power to Jews, period. Or if you fall for the Baha'i crap, well, then you're just giving your power to, well, yeah, the Jews. Same old scam. I think they kind of realized that the individual God archetype, the Jesus, the Mohammed, the... which one do you want to use? The Horus. All these individual archetypes were starting to get old, and what they had to do to evolve their ancient propaganda is to combine all of them and then say, well, hey, they're all the same guy. That's what a lot of the truth movement's pushing, is they're all the same guy. I think it comes out of a tradition, an ancient tradition. And it seems that, yeah, a lot of these societies and everything have come up with similar stories. But to me, that enforces the idea of mass travel before they believed travel couldn't exist. We kind of look past the true power and ability, if you will, of the human individual. The individual is capable of so many things. But when you're taught this the combining of religions. When you're taught the combining of religions, and you really think that that's the way to go, I kind of just believe in everything. Or even if you believe in nothing, and if you don't, you're completely anti-religion. It's kind of the same concept, because you're in an extreme in either way you go. And that's why I have a little bit of respect for agnostics, because at least they have the balls to say that they don't know. I don't think anybody can be prosecuted for really not knowing about the supernatural events of the afterlife, right? But, of course, if it's Jehovah or Yahweh, that might be a different story. So, the real push for the peace movements and all of the rhetoric for coexist and all this stuff, it really comes from the coexist stuff. It all really comes from, you know, this world political structure that they want built. And I think it's, you know, you have to look at that. Sorry about that. I thought maybe if your computer froze up a little bit there. Where was I there? Oh, totally lost it. But I guess I'll talk about the way that I see peace is being used against people. If you don't believe that world peace is attainable, or that you 100% want world peace between all peoples, then you are a bigot, a racist, prejudiced, blah, 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 blah. It keeps going on. Even if you're anti-war, you know, even if you're not part of the anti-war movement, you're like, I don't agree with the anti-war movement. I think it's BS. you're going to get criticized. You're going to be put into a category, probably be labeled as a Republican. That's one of their favorites, if you don't follow along the path there. But, well, you know, once they push you into the Republican ideology, then, you know, you'll think, you know, you'll be fighting liberalism all your life, yes. But you'll be preaching liberalism at the same time. It's just a different form. Republicanism is a joke now. It's not even... So, when we really think about it, how many people are out there saying that they want people to all coexist? That's a common word. It's really a trigger word. Things like coexist and putting all the religious symbology together and making a rainbow and, you know, and all this fancy symbology and fancy lettering and things like that. What that all really is to do is to take the people with already a, I guess you could say, low IQ or low ability to comprehend the propaganda that they're processing. They'll fall right into that trap. Like I said, there's about 5 to 7 million, quote-unquote, Baha'ist in the world. Quite a few of them centered in Israel. But I would say that that number is probably in the world closer to, when it comes down to just what, you know, people would say and what people believe. And that's really what the Baha'i religion is about, is to get push people who are disenfranchised with religion or whatever, or maybe feel that they all have something to them, is to fall right into that trap. Even people who are environmentalists might join this religion just to be in spite of, you know, whatever's out there, or whatever religion is out there trying to convert them. They might find this religion, you know, they almost enjoy that these religions call them satanic, because it really gives them more followers, of course. But, you know, what it does most of all is it makes Christians look like bigots and anti anybody who's not their religion, which is the point of Baha'ism. You have to understand that. It's anybody who doesn't agree with them is questionable in their eyes. And that's what you have to understand. Because there's a serious agenda to bring about this, you know, this peaceful world. But really, at the end of the day, it's nothing but a bunch of people making money off of selling peace. You know, there's the song "Peace Sells, But Who's Buying?" But I say, you know, is that really the way that it is? I mean, peace sells, but who's buying? Peace sells, and plenty of people are buying right now. That's at least my opinion. I guess I'll end it on that. We only got about 5 minutes left. Again, I guess I'll throw out the shows that I'm doing in the next few weeks. On March 6th, 3/6/13. I'll be having Kyle on to talk about the pyramid alphabet and numerological symbology. And on 3/13/13, I'll be having Lou on to talk about whatever we want to talk about. We're talking about topics right now. We still got about 3 weeks. I'll try to get you the topic matter next week at the beginning of the show. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And as I find the song... Let's see here. All right. And I will see you guys next week. Take care, guys.